The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from Jeremiah chapter 20. O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not summon him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart as it were a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is on every side. Denounce him, let us denounce him, say all my close friends watching for my fall. Perhaps he will be deceived, then we can overcome him and take our refuge on him. But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore my persecutors will stumble, they will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hand of evildoers. O Lord, have mercy on us. The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought forth from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of sin. The fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will have not gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim in the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. O Lord, have mercy on us. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our discipleship is serious business. Our witnessing to the works of God is a mandate. Our success is already determined. In the struggle, we do well to remember the maxim, the church is like an anvil. It has worn out many a hammer. As we consider our text this morning from Matthew 10, we look at the theme, discipleship is more than role-playing. My fellow baptized disciples in Christ Jesus. Discipleship rests upon a relationship with God, which is our first point. Jesus says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become as his teacher, and that the slave as his master. We are disciples of Jesus. He is the ultimate teacher. Jesus is the master, and we are the servants. We get that. The imprint of the Master Jesus was placed upon us in the waters of holy baptism. Our life was set. We are reminded from Isaiah 43, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Jesus reached out and plucked us from the jaws of the devil and death and brought us into the kingdom we call the Holy Christian Church. The world around us does not understand a church which is confessional. In fact, the world often despises the church, especially when she confesses and teaches God's word faithfully. Recall the words of Peter. He said, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Jesus Christ is Lord. We were in need of him, because we, too, like Adam and Eve, became rebellious sinners. The words of the devil still ring loud and clear. Did God really say? Isn't that how temptations run? Did God really say that such and such was wrong? Students will test that at school. Children will test that with mom and dad at home. When mom and dad set down parameters and rules, it's kind of like, did mom or dad really say? then mom and dad really have to follow through if they said it in the first place. One of the nice things of the service of prayer and preaching is the reciting of the Ten Commandments. God did really say. One of the blessings of each of the divine services is that we confess our sins and receive absolution. One of the blessings of private confession and absolution is confessing the sins that linger in our lives and receiving the absolution of Jesus through the voice of our pastor. Jesus came into this world beginning with his incarnation in his mother, the Virgin Mary. He came to do battle with the devil. He was tempted by the devil, just as you and I are. But you know what? He overcame by using the word of God as his defense. I think that sometimes we forget that the word of God is our defense against all temptations of the heart and of the flesh. When the voice of "Did God really say?" rears its ugly head, the answer is in "Thus says the Lord." Jesus' battle, though, would not end just with those temptations by the devil, but it would culminate upon the cross. There he would go as the Lamb of God, carrying the sins of the whole world. There he would suffer, there he would bleed, and there he would die. On the cross, as the Lamb of God, he would take all sins and the wrath of God upon himself. And because of all that, it would kill him. God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Christ was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. He rises on Easter morning, as the hymn states. Here, our true Paschal Lamb we see, whom God so freely gave us. He died on the accursed tree, so strong his love to save us. See, his blood now marks our door. Faith points to it, death passes o'er, and Satan cannot harm us. Alleluia. As we begin to see that discipleship is more than role-playing, our discipleship relies on a real calling, which is our second point. At the beginning of Matthew 10, you have Jesus calling the 12 disciples. They're all dead and gone, yet the church remains and goes forward. While they were called to a specific office, all Christians, by virtue of their baptism and confession of Christ Jesus, are given the privilege of telling others about Jesus. I've already alluded to some of the suffering which may come as a result of our confession and discipleship. St. Paul puts it this way: "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." Jesus uses three fear nots in this text. Luther picked up on that thought in that great Reformation hymn when he wrote, and take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth. None of us looks for suffering. It just shows up, unannounced and uninvited. For the church, the suffering will come in the teaching and preaching of the pure word of Jesus. Too many churches are abandoning, and have already abandoned the word of God. And here's kind of how it works. The preacher asks the question, what do you want to hear? Instead of telling the people what God knows that they need to hear. There's a big difference there. It's subtle, but it's a big difference as between hell and heaven. Sometimes it's not so much as what is said, but it's even more so of what is left out. Or what becomes slightly twisted and all garbled up. So there's nothing clearly being laid out to the people of God. As Kurt Kaiser wrote years ago, I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. And as Paul said, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And John wrote, and the witness is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Discipleship is more than role playing. Has us reaching for a real reward, which is our third and final point. After Jesus had called those disciples, he told them this, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. That was not a real pretty picture for the early church or for the faithful church at any time in history. We are called to confess Jesus Christ to all. The Holy Spirit has the task of convicting of sin and bringing people to faith. But if we don't confess, we give the Spirit no place to work. For Jesus says, everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. In the midst of all the trials we endure in life, and we all have them, Jesus has our back. We confess because he empowers us. When we fail, we confess our sins and he forgives us. As John said, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. And then Jesus says at the end of Matthew, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Christ labors in and through us to keep and enlarge his church. As Paul put it, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." And we do this in and through Christ, who says to us over and over again, "Be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven you." In Jesus' name, amen.